The larger part of the beginning of the portion is about the consecration of the Levim. The consecration of the Levim. So what's that about? What is the consecration? So the main theme of this consecration, so to speak, ceremony, right? You may have read it. You may have seen this before, that it is this special activity, this special ceremony of tenufa, of lifting up the Levim. And it's really quite remarkable. The 22,000 Levim there altogether. And we're not going to get into the how they did it. I'll tell you one shot in a second, but it's questionable whether this is really what happened. But nonetheless, 22,000 Levim were lifted up in the process of the consecration of the Levim, the tenufa of the Levim. This is found Perches Pasuk Yud Aleph is the first time it says it. Vehenif Aaron is a Levim. Aaron is supposed to lift up the Levim. Tenufa lifnei Hashem, as like a wave offering. It's like a wave offering. Like he has to lift up the, he shall wave the Levites as a wave service before Hashem. V'hila'avodas avodas Hashem. Then that brings them into the service of the service of Hashem. And then it says it again, Pasuk Yodalad, again it says, v'honaftos. Now this is actually referring to Moshe. Because if you look through the Pesukim, some of them say that it's Aaron who's doing the waving. Others say it's Moshe doing the waving. The Malbim says they both did it. They both did it, right? The difference between the two of them is that Moshe's lifting up and the waving of the Levim was in order to formalize their position as assistants of the Kohanim, and the role of Aaron lifting them up and waving them was as a representative of the nation to formalize the Levites' assumption of the status of the firstborn, because we know the Levim took over the role of the firstborns. The firstborns were really supposed to be the Levim, the Kohanim, serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the firstborn lost that, and then the Levim assumed that position. So that was Aaron's kind of role of lifting them up and waving them to formalize this consecration into this service of being the Levim for the Klal, for the entire nation. But it says that they both did the tenufa, this raising up and waving of the Levim, physically with picking them up. So again, the commentaries talk about their tremendous strength. There was some say it must have been miraculous, because to be able to lift them up and to pick them up from the ground is just really remarkable and hard to understand without some kind of, you know, understanding of a miracle taking place. However, I did see in a commentary the Sefer Shem and Tov, and he quotes there that the Stipler used to learn with Reb Chaim Konevsky as a child, and when they were learning Chumash, Reb Chaim Konevsky related that the Stipler told him, his father told him, when they learned this part of the Chumash, this parasha, he said that, and he doesn't have sources for this, but what they did was that they had some kind of like device of a scale. And on one side of the scale was a pan, and then the Levi would stand on inside that pan, on that platform, that small platform pan type of thing. And on the other part of the scale, they had lots of heavy stones. And then they balanced it out, and then once he was balanced out with the stones, and then Aaron would come along, would then lean heavily upon the side where the stones were to cause the Levi on the other side to rise higher. And that was considered hagbar, that was considered like a tenufa, lifting up. That was a legal lifting up from the ground, even though they weren't picking them up physically, but that act of causing the Levi to go higher up, that constituted the tenufa process. Now, I got excited when I saw this, because this week, you know, we're learning Kedushin on Monday mornings, but I'm also learning by myself as well. I'm in a different place of the Masechta. So just yesterday, I was learning in Kedushin, Daf Chof Hei, 25a, 25b, where the Gemara speaks about Hagbah, the legal acquisition of movable property in animals. That's what the Gemara is talking about over there. You know, how do you legally acquire property? So one of the things the Gemara speaks about is an elephant. How do you acquire an elephant? Because animals have to be either picked up or pulled towards you, or kind of the reins handed over. So the Gemara says that the way that an elephant can be acquired is by lifting it up from the ground. So how do you lift an elephant up from the ground? So the Gemara says that the way there were two different interpretations, but putting some kind of mat underneath the elephants to then cause it to then coax it to then stand on top of that mat, which is a certain minimum distance from the ground. Once the elephant is on that mat and is raised up from the ground, that constitutes a legal, what's called hagba, a lifting up. So in the sefer which I was looking at, when they were discussing this lifting up of the Levium that Aaron was doing, he cites this, the Gemara which I was just learning yesterday, that's how he was lifted, that's how he lifted. So that was, even though they weren't physically picking them up, they were putting them onto the scale, and then the other side had the stones on it, and then he leaned down heavily upon that side of the scale, and he caused the Levi on the other side to go up high, and that was considered a tenufa, a lifting up. The problem with it is is that when you look at the Gemara and the commentaries, the waving procedure wasn't simply a matter of just physically picking them up from the ground, but they were waved as well. There was a waving as well, moving back and forth. So that's why you have to come back to the miracle, the nace. You know, so it's just, you know, very miraculous, the whole phenomena. But that's what the psukim over here speak a lot about, this whole procedure, the tenufa, and it's mentioned three times. The word tenufa, the lifting up and the waving of the levim, is mentioned three times in the parasha over here. And Rashi, quoting from the Gemara, says the reason why, it's alluding to something. So Rashi says the reason why it's mentioned three times is, it's mentioned three times, Shalosh Tenufas Nemru B'Parsha Zu. There's three mentionings of this waving ceremony of the Levian. Harishona Lebnei Kohas, the first waving was for the children of Kohas. Remember, the Levian are divided into three families, Kohas, Gershon, and Merari. So the first waving is for Kohas, the family of Kohas. Lekach Nema, that's why it says, with that first mentioning of the waving, it says, for Hayu lo avodas avoda, this was so that they should now come in to perform the avodas Hashem. The avodas Hashem, because Kohas had the responsibility of the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, the very holy parts of the Mishkan. So that waving consecration permitted them to then be able to go into the Kodesh and then do the avoda over there of carrying the different parts, as we've learned before. Lefisha avodas Kodesh Kodashim Aleim, because the avoda of the Kodesh Kodashim was upon them, the Aron and the Shulchan, etc. The second mentioning of the word Tenufa is for the Bnei Gershon. And the third one is for the Bnei Merari. Kahas, Gershon, and Merari. So there are three references of Tenufa for Kahas, Gershon, and Merari. So this is the Tenufa service of the Levium. You know, the Tenufa service of the Levium. Now, there are a lot of exciting parts of the parasha this week, a lot of exciting episodes. So why did I pick this of all of the things, like the waving of Levium? Couldn't I have spoken about Miriam and the Lashon Hara she spoke, how the menorah is mentioned in this week's parasha, Baalusach, such a famous thing, and also the inverted nuns, you know, Vahib and Soa Aaron. We spoke about that a few years as well. There's so many exciting things in the parasha. Why did I pick this of all things? Well, you know, because I'm kind of, you know, stubbornly focused on Sheni, the second Aliyah this year. And that's what's there. What can I do? I'm stuck, right? That's what's in the second Aliyah. But I did see something. I saw something, a beautiful, beautiful, inspiring commentary in the Nesiva Shalom. The Nesiva Shalom is the Slana Mareba. And he has a whole essay about this. He has a whole essay about the Tenufa. And really, you know, what the message is for us. Because again, this seems to be something which is only relevant to those days, to that time. And it was a one-time event, just in the time when they were consecrated as Levim for the Mishkan. So what's the practical take-home application to us in our lives? What do we learn from this whole episode, or this whole procedure of the Tenufa service? What's the message for us in this? So he starts off by quoting the Rambam. So the Rambam, at the end of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, so he says the following. He's describing the role in general of the Levium. What was the function, the purpose of the Levium in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash? And he says, V'lama lezocha Levi benachlis Eretz Yisrael. Why did the Levium not merit to have a portion in the land of Eretz Yisrael, together with their brethren? And the answer is, b'pnei shehuvdol la'avodas Hashem, because they were distinct and separated in order to serve Hashem, the sharso, to minister before him, v'lahoros derocha v'yesharim, u'mishpatim, mishpatav tzadikim, and to teach his straight ways, his mishpatim, his righteous laws, l'rabim to the community, as it says in the pasuk, yor mishpatecha liYaakov, they shall teach and instruct your laws to the children of Jacob, for terasach liYisrael and your Torah to klal Yisrael. That's the purpose of the Levim. Shevet Levi had this role, this function of being the promoters of Torah, teaching and showing the klal Yisrael how to behave. Lefika chuvdulu medarki ha'olam. Therefore, they were distinct and separated from the ways of the world. Lo arachim ulchama, they don't go to war. Kishai Yisrael, like the rest of the Jewish people. Velo nochlim, they don't inherit property and land. Velo zochen la'atzim b'kor gufon, so they don't own land in Eretz Yisrael. Aleihem cheil Hashem, but they are the legion of Hashem. As it says, Beirach Hashem cheilo, Hashem blesses his army. V'hu baruch hu, zochel lehem, he merits them, he gives to them. So bottom line is, the Levim are the ministers of Hashem. They're not involved in the earthly material parts of life. They're not involved in the physical acquisition of land, etc. They are muvdal, they're separated. They're separated to the service of Hashem, and that's their function. So that's number 12, that's halacha 12. But then he goes on, halacha 13. V'lo shevet Levi bilvad. This doesn't just apply to the tribe of Levi only. Ela kol ish v'ish. Rather, every single Jew. Asher nod v'rucho oso. That Hashem has, that he's been bestowed with spirit. V'havinu mado libodel la'amud lefnei Hashem. Who has the understanding to become separated, to stand before Hashem, l'sharsa, to serve him, l'avdon, to serve him, to work for him, to know the ways of Hashem, v'holech yashan, to be able to walk in straight paths, k'mo sha'asa l'kim, as Hashem has made him, uparak mi'al tzavara ol chashbonos harabim, and he thereby takes off of his shoulders the yoke of work and kind of calculations, literally, all the different activities and calculations of life. This person, a person who's dedicated his life to the service of Hashem, he is, so to speak, elevated and separated. Not that we don't involve ourselves with the physical, obviously we have to, but there's a mindset of becoming kodesh, of being sanctified and separated, to be the chelek of Hashem, to be the nachl of Hashem, le'olmei olamim v'yiskelev al mahazeh, and such a person who devotes himself and herself to this way of life will be given sufficiency to be able to have what he needs, just like as Hashem merited the Kohanim and the Levim to have what they needed. That's what David said in Tehillim, you are my portion, you are my cup, you are my supporter, you are everything for me. You are my chelek, Hashem. You are my chelek. And in that attitude, and in that kind of way of living, then Hashem provides for that person. I don't want to get into this conversation about hishtadlus and bitochen, etc. Of course, a person has to make hishtadlus, but there's, as we know, many experiences where there's a certain siyata deshmaya which can come to people's, which will come in people's lives, where the more that they elevate themselves and dedicate themselves to the service of Hashem, there is a zuchus of siyata deshmaya. There's a special siyata deshmaya which comes to people's ways. But that's the purpose of the Levim, and that's the potential of the Jewish people. In other words, you know, as a nation, as a people, and we said this so many times before, as a nation, as a Jewish people, our purpose, our function is to be the Levim and the Kohanim for the world. We are a light to the nations. It's not by accident that parasha does begin with the menorah, because that's what the menorah is all about. It symbolizes that we are the source of light, kedusha for the entire world, and we're supposed to be like Levim. Okay, so that's the backdrop. That's the Rambam. We are like Levim. We're all Levim sitting over here. We're all Levim. So what's that have to do with the price of tea in China? What's that have to do with the tanufa, the elevation of the waving of the Levim? So this is where the Slonim Rebbe says that what is the symbol? What's the symbolism of this tanufa, this waving of the Levim? What does it represent? So he says in his understanding, he says that the purpose of the symbolism of the tanufa is essentially like being lifted up higher above this world. They are Levim. They are the ministers of Hashem. Their role and function is to bring Kedusha, to bring spirituality into the world. They are given an experience of being physically lifted up from the ground, symbolic of being lifted up higher than the physical world, higher than the physical desires, higher than the ego, higher than all of the things that the physical and the material bring with it, while living in it, but being elevated and being higher and not being controlled by those physical things. We're elevated. They're being elevated above the physical by being picked up. And that's the idea of the tenufa. You know, physically being, it's almost like being shaken up. Like being physically being, they imagine it. You're a Levi there. You watch this Levi being picked up. He's being like shaken up. He quotes over here, famous Hasidic Rebbe, Rav Aaron of Karlin. And he, you know, there was a certain individual came to, he had this, apparently this tremendously strong voice, a very, very powerful voice, like a tremendously strong and powerful voice to be able to shake people up. A certain individual, a Balavera is described over here. Certain individuals had committed some major serious Averas. He comes to him, and I don't think I should do this. I don't think anyone else should do this as well. But this person came over to him, and he took him, and he shook him. He started shaking him, right? He had obviously a relationship with him such that he could do that. But that shaking, he shook him into reality. There's a certain times we need to be shaken into a reality, to be shaken into like our senses, to know what life is about, what's going on, what's the purpose of our lives, what we're living our lives for. And that's what he says. This is the whole procedure, the whole ceremony of lifting up the Levim and literally shaking them is in order to inculcate into them, wake up, shake yourselves up to realize that you're not attached, you're not physically connected to the physical earth below you, you're elevated than that. You're higher than that. You're elevated above the ground below you. And he says the fact that we see with the Levim that there are three sets of tenufas, three sets of wavings for Gershon, for Lev, for Merari, and for Kahas, they represent different levels, so to speak, of Jew, different levels of people. You know, Kahas had the responsibility, the holiest part of the Mishkan. And then after that came Gershon. Gershon's responsibility was for the drapes and the coverings over the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. In a certain sense, that was a holier task than the last category, which was for Merari. And Merari's responsibility was carrying the planks and the outer shell of the Mishkan. So there's levels there. There's Daragas, the outer shell, which is the planks, the pillars. And then there's the drapes, which are more on the inside. And then finally, the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedosh, which is really on the inside. And there are three levels of Kedusha. Kahas had the highest level of Kedusha. Gershon had the next level of Kedusha. And Merari had the lowest level of Kedusha. Whoever you are, whatever we are, we all need to be elevated from the place we're at. Right? We're all at different levels. But we need to feel a sense of being lifted up. And he says that's the kind of the message that they experienced. And that's the message that we're supposed to experience and hear in this passage over here of elevating ourselves, being lifted up, realizing, like the Rambam says, that we are like Levim. We are like Levim. We have a role, we have a function, we have a purpose, we have a job to do of bringing light, bringing Kedusha, bringing spirituality into the world. And we have to ourselves, you know, be picked up. We've got to like lift ourselves up. We've got to be pulled up above the material, above the physical. He goes further and he says that in the same way that there are three levels of the Levim, of Kahas, Gershon, and Merari, that corresponds to the three levels inside of us. What are the three levels inside of us? And this is, this is a basic concept, but I don't, for some reason, this just really struck me in a different kind of way this morning when I was looking at this. The three aspects of ourselves is our body, our limbs, our hearts, and our minds. You know, we have these three assets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed and endowed us with a body. with physical limbs, with a body. He's endowed us with a heart, with emotions, the capacity to feel, to experience, right? And he's endowed us with the most remarkable thing in our brains, in our heads, our brain, our mind. These are gifts. These are assets. These are what we've been endowed with. Intrinsically, they're not wholly intrinsically. It depends where we put those three things. It depends where we apply our body, where we put our bodies and our limbs, where we physically behave. It depends on where we put our emotions. Where do we direct our emotions? And where do we put our mind? And the message over here, by being lifted up, the Levim being, Gershon being lifted up, and Kohath being lifted up, and Merari being lifted up, each on the, in their different domains, corresponds and reminds us, or should inspire us, that we should lift ourselves up, that I should lift my body up, I should lift my heart up, I should lift my mind up. I shouldn't just leave my body and my heart and my brain and my mind in the, I'm going to say the word sewers, it's really too strong of a word, because God forbid we're not putting our mind in sewers, but, you know, relatively speaking, in terms of the potential kedusha, the potential spirituality and ruchnius that our bodies could be immersed in, and our hearts could be immersed in, and our minds could be immersed in, it could kind of makes everything else so kind of like really low and just earthly. And he says the message of this lifting up of the Levim is lift yourselves up, lift yourselves higher. Apply, take, we have free will. You see, our free will is the controller, right? Our free will is not the mind. You know, without getting into the dynamics of the will, of free will, etc. But we have free will. We choose to put our bodies, we choose to put our feelings, we choose to put our minds in different places. And he says, the message of this is, of the Tanufa, is lift in the same way that the Levim were lifted up. We have to lift ourselves higher, to bring ourselves to higher places. Our mind, our emotions, and our actions, lift them higher. Now, I'm going to tell you what he says at the end in terms of one application of this. But I was thinking just for myself, just practically on a, just more of a daily basis before I get to what he says at the end, what are the ways with which we can lift ourselves up? It's not as complicated as it may sound. It means putting our body and our limbs into the performance of mitzvahs. That applies to the body, right? Lifting our bodies up is willing and choosing to do more mitzvahs, to engage in physical mitzvahs, which is for the limbs. Let me go to the mind first. The mind is clear, you know. Use your mind. The ability to be able to immerse in our minds in Torah, there's so much Torah, there's so much to learn. And the more we dedicate our mind to the reading and the studying of things which are not really intrinsically holy, is a terrible travesty and desecration of the mind and a failure to elevate the mind into a spiritual place. It's a failure of that elevation of the mind. So that's learning more, having really making sure that my say, that I have a regular hooker by crook, rigid schedule of learning Torah every single day. I never miss my learning of Torah. We've spoken about before as well, how great people, you know, have the dedication they have to making sure that 10 minutes a day, that hour a day, never gets violated whatsoever, to make sure the mind has this regular exposure to learning every single day. That's an elevation of the mind. Elevation of the emotions. I mean, what kind of complicated and difficult to explain. Well, how do we elevate our emotions? How do we pick up our emotions? How do we pick our emotions up higher? It's harder to do that. You know, see, it's interesting, you know, when it comes to thoughts and actions, we have much more control over thoughts and actions. We can do actions, we can think about things. How do you elevate emotions? I don't have an easy answer, right? But there are experiences and situations which help us to feel more, to have more feeling. And, you know, without feeling, without emotion, without feeling, you know, a person becomes dead and also fails to do the things they need to do. There's a certain kind of feeling you need in order to even make change, even in the behavior and even in the mind. You know, some people, like, they're just kind of like almost disconnected emotionally.
However, there are
certain things we can do to awaken the emotions. Now, God forbid, chas v'shalom, we shouldn't have to experience tragedies and suffering in order for the emotions to open up. But, you know, that's tragically sometimes what happens. You know, there's it says in the Shema, v'hoyu ha-devorim ha-eila alu avecha. These words should be upon your heart. They should be upon your heart. So the question is asked, the Kotzker Rebbe asked, why does it not say these words should be inside of your heart? Why, alu avecha, don't we want the words, all of these inspirational ideas to penetrate the heart? Why does the Pasuk only say these words should be sitting upon the heart? They should go inside the heart. So speaking to the reality of the toughness of emotions and the toughness of people's hearts and how many people can learn and study, and somehow there's like this kind of like chasm, this massive chasm between the mind and the heart, and the heart doesn't get moved and the emotions are not aroused. It's a reality. It's a reality for whatever reason. That's how Hashem made it. But it's a reality. So Hashem says in the Torah, the very least, the word should sit upon your heart, because when occasions arise in life, when the heart naturally opens up, for example, tragedies, like he said, like tragedies, difficult times, tragedies where the heart go to a funeral, the emotions open up. So at least the words which are sitting upon the heart should now drop in inside the heart, which has now become awakened. But that's a tragic, you know, episode. But a happy episode is a joyful time, because you go to a wedding and you're sitting at a wedding and someone's getting married and you're crying and you're filled with emotions. Your heart is open up. The trick is take advantage of that moment when the heart is opened up and think about an idea, a truth, a principle, a behavior, something which you know you should do, and use that opportunity to allow that concept to then go inside the heart. Because otherwise the heart is not always open. But what we learn from this in general is that the way to open up the heart is by music, by joyous occasions, by being in places which just naturally, which organically open up the heart. It's very, very difficult to open up the heart otherwise. And I'm sure there are other ways we could deal with that and discuss it. But at least for the time being, that's one way through which we can lift the heart up. If we're trying to learn from this about lifting things up, lifting our body, lifting up our mind, lifting up our heart, that's another way. Go to places, do things which arouse emotions in a positive way. Go places, do things, experience things. I want to, at the very end, I want to play you a piece of music, a song, because obviously music naturally opens up the emotions. So I found a good song to kind of illustrate this, right? But listening to music which awakens the emotions is one of the ways with which to lift up the heart. But that's my inclusion. That's my inclusion into the discussion. I want to go on with the Shlomo Rebbe, because he goes further to talk about an extremely important context in which this applies, i.e. the elevation, the lifting up of our body, the lifting up of our heart, and the lifting up of our mind. And he goes on, as he frequently does at the end of all of his essays, to talk about the importance of Shabbos. And he says that Shabbos has within Shabbos itself are these three elements. It's really very beautiful. He says, in Shabbos Kodesh, we say in the Parsha Vayichulu, three times, Yom HaShavi. So what does that correspond to? So they say it corresponds to the three levels of Shabbos. There are three levels. We have to know this. Unfortunately, many people, you know, whatever their experience of Shabbos is, they'll go to Shul on a Friday night, they'll go on Shabbos morning. We have to know, we have to really deeply appreciate there are three levels to Shabbos. There's Friday night, the Shabbos morning, and the Shalosh Shudas, the third meal, the end of Shabbos. The beginning of Shabbos, Shabbos morning, and the end of Shabbos. These are three distinct levels of Shabbos. Bilel Shabbos Kodesh, the night of Shabbos, Hatanufa, this elevation, which we're talking about, is on the Daragah and the Mucha, is the lowest level. It's the lowest level of elevation. It corresponds to the picking up the body, the lowest level of who we are, the physical part of ourselves. Be'eshi Yehudi Nichnas Ma'achol Shabbos Kodesh, when a person is transferring from the weekday into the Shabbos Kodesh, Shos Tzorech Lisnaya, that then a person needs to like waken himself up from all of the mundane activities which he was involved in during the week. And that's the first level that corresponds to merari. It corresponds to the body. It corresponds to the elevation of the lowest part of ourselves as we enter into Shabbos. That's Shabbos. Living, going through the Shabbos is that elevation of that lowest part of ourself. It will be Yom Shabbos Kodesh. Then during the day, in the morning, Yesh Ele Yosa Gedola, there's an elevation even higher. V'shayach Tanufa Bedarga Gevur Yosa. And it's shayach now to have a Tanufa, an elevation on an even higher level. Until you reach Shalosh Sudos, the end of Shabbos, the third meal, the end of, it's not really the third meal per se, but it's the end of Shabbos, described as Ravad Ravin. Ravin, it's the desire of all desires. It's the highest level of Shabbos. Shemadregal Yonash B'Shabbos Kodesh. It's the highest level Kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh. U'B'Shabbos Kodesh, I'll call Echod Lasis Tanufa, on every single Shabbos, it's upon every Jew, to go through a Tanufa, go through an elevation, because the Dargus, with all of these different levels, Lestnai, to shake himself off of all of the different stuff, the things of this world, the taivas, the physical desires, the chomrias, etc., until the highest elevation at the end of Shabbos. And he said this is also alluded to in the beautiful Lecha Dodi prayer, as we go into Shabbos as well, Lecha Dodi. There are three expressions there which correspond to this too. His na'ari ma'afar kumi, shake off the dust. Please Hashem, shake off the dust of my week. Shake off the dust of my physicality. Shake it off from upon me. Live she, big day, tefarteich ami. Don yourself with splendid clothing, my people. Put on the kedusha, the clothing of kedusha upon yourself as you take off the physical clothing, the physical dust of the week. Hisori, the next paragraph. Hisori, hisori. Wake up, wake up. And this, he says, corresponds to the next level. That corresponds to Shabbos day, the next morning. There's a higher level. You're on a higher level. And then finally, Kavod Hashem, Olayech Nigla, the glory of Hashem upon you has been revealed. When does the full glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu become revealed? At the end of Shabbos. At the end of Shabbos, when a person is climbing up, he says, Shabbos Kodesh, on Shabbos Kodesh, Nichlalim Kol Dargus of Tanufa, all levels of this Tanufa, all levels of this elevation are experienced. Misna'ari Ma'afar Kumi, from that first level of the shaking off the dust, the physical dust at the lowest level, at Kavod Hashem Alayach Nigla, until that final level of the glory of Hashem being revealed upon you. She'inyan Hashem Shechalkecha, it's the same concept as what the Rambam said, Hashem is your chelek. Hashem is your portion. Hashem is your nachla. Shezer tachlis kol yom Shabbos. That's the purpose of the entirety of Shabbos. Bechinas knesis Yisrael yia ben zugacha. It's a concept, it's a dimension of the Klal Yisrael is the partner with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He's Hashem's, we are Hashem's partner. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the living experience of the love affair and the connection and the bond that we have with Hashem by going through the entirety of Shabbos this way, elevating ourselves even higher and higher. I have a sefer, a very magnificent sefer called Shabbos Malkasa, and written by Rav Shimshon Pinkas of blessed memory, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So I just want to read one paragraph from this as well, describing a similar idea. Omnam b'Shabbos Kodesh, on Shabbos, on the holy Shabbos, shu me'ein olam haba, which is like a semblance of the next world, the kamaholam haba, like it's the next world. Shusulam shalalias legilia tova mitim menius brach. It's like a ladder. When you go through Shabbos, you're climbing a ladder. We're climbing a ladder going through Shabbos. Od v'od, more and more and more. V'chidush ach chidush, novelty, realization, insight after insight. Came b'Shabbos yeshalia ach aliyah. There's an aliyah. One level elevation, one going up after another going up. The kasheba shasa mincha, and when you finally arrive at the time of mincha, the end of Shabbos, she piskas a Shabbos, which is the pinnacle of Shabbos, whose man shall bekiya. It's a time of breaking forth for ha'ara shel olam haba, and the light, the illumination of olam haba, breaking forth in its full force. It's like the highest desire, the highest connection of all connections. For Ezratzen Otzen Ba'olam, It's a time of tremendous desire from Hashem, more than any other time in the world. It's a time of tefillah, unlike any other time of tefillah. As it says, we say this pasuk at the end by Shabbos Mincha, "V'oz tefilasi l'cha Hashem eis rotzon," and now my tefillah is to you, Hashem. This is a time of desire. Lahapik rotzon Hashem, in order to be able to bring forth the will, the desire, the love of Hashem, al kol mishalaseinu, for all of our wishes, l'kol yimei masa, for all of the days of the week which are coming to greet us thereafter. Not that we daven about material things, but in our hearts we can at least aspire to all the things which we want. But it really underscores the tremendous aliyah and the elevation that occurs at the end of Shabbos as we go through Shabbos. But this, the Shlomo Rebbe says, is the tenufa, is the rising up, the being lifted up in all parts of self, being lifted up through Shabbos. Shabbos lifts up every single part of ourselves. And that's what he says is the take-home message, the 21st century application of the waving of the Levian, something which seems to be very abstract and hard to get our heads around, but it has very, very ample and very, very relevant and inspirational application to us, that we should mimic what we are Levian. We're all Levian. We should mimic and experience that tenufa in ourselves, to think about, I have a brain, I have a heart, I have limbs, I have a body. How am I lifting them up? How am I lifting them up to higher places? How am I putting them into places of Kedusha, of sanctity, of Ruchnius, of being connected to Hashem? How am I doing that? And in particular, how am I doing that through Shabbos? Am I allowing those parts of self to be lifted up through the experience of going through Shabbos and traveling along that road of Shabbos, going higher and higher and higher, to be able to experience the highest level of Me'ein Olam Haba by the end of Shabbos?